cannabis topics in less than 10 minutes. Let's go. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Dime. I'm Brian Fields. With me, as always, is Kellen Feeney. And this week, we've got a very special guest, Seth Yakutan. Seth, thanks for taking the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me, Brian and Kellen. I don't know how special I am. I can't believe anybody wants to listen to the crap that comes out of my mouth, but appreciate the platform. Thanks for having me.
I know one of your focuses as an advisor is to help these companies that are looking to grow some capital and to expand their business. And hopefully the anticipation as the industry kind of opens up and the checkbooks start to continue to come. Are there certain aspects of businesses that investors are looking for, certain credentials or criteria that make these businesses more attractive to investors, in your opinion?
There are. I started really looking at cannabis because when I was in biotech, I was so tired of constantly having to raise money for these companies because they don't sell any products. So I said, gosh, there must be an easier way to do this. And in cannabis, it's even harder. So like part of the problem that exists in cannabis, and I think I did a post on this, is that the biotech universe of investors is like, call it 1,100, you know, and the cannabis universe of investors is maybe like 100. So the first thing is that you have to understand it's really hard to get money into a cannabis company in general because there's just not the number of people that you can go to for any other company in any other industry. Doesn't matter. What I do think is that there's three or four things that seem to either really be difficult or really work. If you have something which is completely new and you have never done it before and you do not generate revenue with it, it's really hard. So I think startup in cannabis automatically is harder than any other industry that you're going to go after just because of the limited number of partners you can get. What seems to have worked in funding cannabis companies is, do you have a physical asset? So most of the initial money that flowed into cannabis was some type of real estate securitized loan or real estate backed collateralized piece of paper. So if you have something which is a physical asset that you can own or buy or leverage, your buy-in stakes become easier. Depending upon the investor, I think they all look at different kinds of things. There's, in my opinion, six or seven models that what I say are function, meaning that they have the capacity to generate positive net operating income before interest and taxes. Of those five or six models, there's some of them that have the ability to generate actual real cash flow. And I think what you're seeing now is the more established companies that I would say are kind of greater than 10 million in revenue have a much easier ability to raise money because they've either proven their model or they seem more viable than things that don't. So are there specific things that people look for? I think it just depends on the investor, but that's the way that I tend to see the landscape.
So how is the balance, the jockey and the horse work? Because as you were alluding, it's very complicated and understanding the dynamics given how an operator who's experienced and who's kind of been through the tough times of cannabis OG, exactly like you described, but also has the foresight to position the team and the infrastructure to be able to ride the waves going forward, but also set them up for long-term success.
The first thing that I kind of have to look at is it a single decision maker or is it a team? So if it's a single decision maker, how strong is that single decision maker? And if it's not, how good is the team? I think the one thing that I would say permeates most of the what I think are good companies are that if it is one person that owns it, they've figured out how to surround themselves and empower a really strong team to get it over the line. And every company that I've talked about publicly and, you know, promoted, I think has got an amazing single founder or decision maker and a great team. And that's a big differentiator. Sometimes you can have a great team and it doesn't work. So it's not always just the team, but I think in my practice, what I like to say to people is I need mind share of one of the decision makers or of the decision makers for me to be effective. So what do I mean by that? There's a company that I advise, got two term sheets from an investor last night. Who'd they call at 10:30 on Tuesday? Me. Because if you ain't calling me or texting me at 10:30 on Tuesday, I ain't got mindshare. And if I don't have mindshare, you're not going to listen to me. And if you're not going to listen to me, then it doesn't fucking matter. I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I've just had 500, you know, hours of batting practice. I've got hit in the face by every pitch. So I'm not going to be able to tell you what you should do or why you should do it. But I can tell you, here's what I think is going to happen. And here's the holes that you're going to fall into. And you know what? I've seen this movie 17 times before. And it pretty much ends the same way 17 times.
Yeah, Kellen, just to allude to it a little bit, I think Sam Altman put it perfectly, is that being an entrepreneur just means just getting hit in the face every single day and having to make hard decisions on repeatedly because things go wrong inevitably almost every single day. And Seth, I'm assuming that's kind of the direction you're referring to, that as an entrepreneur in any industry, things are extremely hard. Canvas maybe has additional obstacles, but there's certain personality traits like grit and a relentlessness that are necessary to overcome these constant challenges.
Yeah, every industry has their own challenge. The cannabis industry, you're just kind of making up the rules almost every day as you go along. And depending upon the vertical, it's really hard to make money. And you also have a nefarious aspect to the black market of the business, which is like this invisible hand that no one can quantify. And you have D8, D9 leakage. And then you have the socioeconomic kind of underpinnings of the three of us are having a conversation about weed, and there's 1,000 guys locked in jail for even having the conversation about weed. And then there's social equity, and then there's gender equity, and you have all of these things that, you know, I'm not going to say constrain, but rather you have all these things that bind the industry that may or may not bind pharmaceutical or biotech drug development in the same way. So In that industry, you're just hoping for moonshots, right? You guys remember this robot that I hate fucking robots. I'm so anti-robots and anti-Tesla and forget it. But remember this robot that landed on the moon like a month ago and it like fell over? I was laughing so hard because it's kind of like, well, okay, I guess it's not, you know, like it just anyway.
Let's quickly switch gears to a prediction. Seth, as the cannabis industry transitions towards a more mainstream market structure, what key elements do you envision as crucial for companies aiming to establish enduring, resilient business models?
I think stay in your lane. You know, I think what was pervasive at the beginning was we're going to try and do everything. And I'm not sure that's worked. I think if you're good at what you do, stay in your lane. I think the other thing that I've seen, and I still see in cannabis, and it kind of annoys me, is build what you're building to your actual demand. Don't build what you're building to your projected demand. Because it seems in cannabis that, and we've all smiling, we've all seen these facilities where, you know, you go to a place like New Jersey and you're like, bro, like, not for nothing, but in Ventura, California, there's the second largest contiguous greenhouse facility in North America. You don't need a greenhouse in New Jersey. Like, no disrespect. You just don't. You don't need it. So, like, and don't tell me that you're going to supply the whole state of New Jersey with your greenhouse when you've never grown weed in it before. And you've never grown weed. So things like that, I'm just like, okay. So I think, you know, stay in your lane and build what you're building to expected demand. The companies that we've talked about in this hour are the ones that have owned and dominated a market and then said, I want to apply those teachings and those principles to going into another market. So the capital or the expansion that I want is growth capital. Can I go in there, deploy the same model, get share and scale based upon that profitably? So I think those kind of three or four simple things is where I would kind of tell people to focus.
I love it. Seth, for our listeners, they want to get in touch, they want to learn more about some of your writings, where can they find you?
Allegedly, I'm on LinkedIn.
That's
if you hadn't heard about that. So you can hit me on LinkedIn. I have a website, which is called Kate and Associates. I think if you drill into my contact info on LinkedIn, you can email me. You can DM me. I respond to everybody. You might not like what you hear. Full disclaimer, I do not waste time and I do not mince words. If I don't know you and I don't think you have anything, I'm going to be pretty blunt about that if I can't help you. I speak a lot. I'm going to be, shameless plug, at the Benzinga Conference in Florida in April. I will be on stage and I will be in South Florida for a few days. Would love to connect with you, but just hit me on LinkedIn or on the website and I will usually respond.
Awesome. We'll link it up in the show notes. Thanks for taking the time. This was a lot of fun.
Guys, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. You woke me. You awoke the Kraken today. And now I'm like ready to go for like two more hours. I'm like, I need a bio break and I'm ready to do the second hour of the show. Let's go.
I love it.
Guys, if you've enjoyed this podcast over the last few years, can you please take 3 minutes or less and leave us a quick review on Apple or Spotify? All reviews make a massive difference for us and help other people like you find this podcast. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hey friends, I'm Brannon.
And I'm Saba.
And we are your host of the Cannabis Hangout Podcast, an educational platform to connect with the cannabis community and share personal stories while breaking the stigma of marijuana.
Join us every Sunday at 7 p.m. to gain valuable insight with different perspectives from industry leaders, growers, and medical marijuana patients.
This is a place to learn so much from different angles in the cannabis industry. So tune in while we break it all down.